What is up, people? We are back, and this time we're back with multiple returning guests. Mr. Shane Presley of the Rock Paper Podcast. Shane comes to us for a couple of reasons. One, he's got an upcoming birthday show for his singer-songwriter showcase that he does once a month. That would be at the Naked Vine on June 11th. That's an acoustic jam with some of the local singer-songwriters in the area. It's always worth checking out. And then after that would be the 5th annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show. That's a big one. That is Shane's a show he's done 5 times, duh. But it's June 22nd at the Broadway Oyster Bar featuring the Manda Fish Band, Tony Campanella Band, and Odds Lane. It's at 10 p.m. It's $8 at the door. And get out there and support Shane, support his show, support the local artists, and root for another 5 more of these things. We talk a little bit about what future holds for Shane. We hope he gets his own venue one day and makes produces his own shows regularly, and that's something he does. I mean, he's the guy. I don't know that there's a person that loves local music more than Shane, so get out there and help him out. And enjoy this episode, because it's not just talking about his show, but it's also talking about a bunch of BS that we normally talk about. Shane said, I want to talk about... He brought topics, which is always great. I love when our guests bring topics. So, when this bomb goes off, you'll listen to the show and enjoy. And again, that's at Rock Paper Podcast, almost on every social media. Sometimes you got to drop the T. You'll figure it out. Here comes the bomb. Boom. Take a big drink.
We actually talked to Animaniacs on my last episode, which was a weird coincidence.
Was that the one that just released today?
No, it was Caroline.
Oh, okay.
Somebody asked her, one of the fan questions submitted was Animaniacs yes or Animaniacs no or something like that, and she's like talked about how like they just stressed her out because they were too crazy and like
they were
like get off the water tower and all this stuff.
Well, they were locked in there. It was the vault,
right?
Yeah. Oh man, that's one of my favorite. But we're hey, with that we are back. And we were kind of talking about cartoons that Shane had no frame of reference on. So, but we were just relating it to other stories. So spoiler alert, I just tried to bury the lead, but Shane's back.
Hey everybody.
I think it's your fourth or fifth. You may be a 5-timer club. Isn't that a jacket,
yeah,
I think?
I think so.
A jacket? Whoa.
Yeah, like SNL, like we're the 5-timers club. You're up there with Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin.
It's a good club.
But Adam Sandler's only had one, which is a shame. But that said, that means there's no other guys present other than myself. But for the first time in a bit, I think. It's been a bit, maybe.
I don't know.
The Flop's back.
Hey.
She's joining us.
Hey-o.
And I got to tell you, it was hesitant. She was like, I just want to go outside and drink. And I just sold her on the fact that we're going to be outside for the rest of the day. So you can come down and be on the podcast. Plus, like I told you before, when we get into just talking about random shit like we normally do, she's really good at hating on dumb people. And I've got the statistics on maybe some of the dumbest people in the world anymore. So... But before we get into that, though...
I also didn't want Shane to think I was rude.
Well, I don't think this will weigh in on that no matter what, I think.
Too late, right?
But before we get into that, let's get some business out of the way. I would say, Shane, what have you been up to? But I think everybody in the world knows you've been up to podcasting. But it is that time of year again, but you have not one but two shows to promote, right?
Yeah. Two big birthday... celebrations, in a sense. First up is June 11th. We're celebrating 1 year of my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase I've been doing out of Naked Vine.
Which you, one of the, not the last time, but I think 2 times ago, came on here and you were just, that was still, like, I remember seeing the genesis of that thought. You were like, I know I'm going to start this. I don't know what it's going to be or when it is. And you hadn't even had a name of it for it yet. So now that's 1 year later.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, I don't know. I set a goal for myself, to do this, to put out, create a showcase, a monthly show, and start doing more live shows. And so I went from doing one a year, which in the beginning we did the birthday party, but I put on 14 shows last year, which was
that's real work.
Yeah, so it was pretty crazy to think about that. I, help go from nothing to putting on 14 different shows throughout the year. I mean, still that's not. a lot for some people, but for me, like, kind of just getting going on this thing is still.
Well, I'm going to avoid the tropes that I normally have when you're on here of talking about how busy you work and how busy you are, how much you work, and how much little you sleep, because you're still making the podcast. It's still going strong. You're on episode 719. Okay.
Yeah. Today.
Which, yeah, just it literally popped up on my phone right before you pulled up.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of work, right? Promoting a show, putting a show together.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm like, you know.
I mean, that's for not saying podcasting that you do is not hard, but it seems like promoting the show, that's closer to real life work.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, the showcase, luckily, like, I don't have to do a whole ton of work because it's a very intimate show. So we can pull, you know, a pretty, you know, 40, 50 people maybe or whatever, and that place is packed. And so,
you're probably that place is already getting some people without even knowing what's going on.
And
so,
the show now does work for me. So people, it's built a following. People, like, know it's happening every second Tuesday, and they come out. And so
all you really have to do is, and I'm sure at this point, this is even an easier part for you too, is reach out to see who's going to be on it. But
because
of what you do, people are asking them.
Yeah. But I still, yeah, I mean, like, that part definitely requires some work to networking it all, scheduling and booking everybody and all that. So, but it is, but this, the next birthday party, though, like, is that one requires a lot more. I'm
the fifth anniversary.
Yeah, I need a lot more people off for that night. So I'm doing a lot of, I'm doing, you know, hitting the streets with flyers. I'm doing posters all over and doing, you know, actually that's, you know, requires a lot of more real work trying to promote an event.
Yeah, a real promoter's hat. Right, I mean, sure. And that's what, you know, you talked about the very first time you came on to where, like, you know, maybe pie in the sky was one day you'd have your own venue to promote.
Yeah.
And whether that happens or not, we'll see. But the groundwork you're putting in now is you're already turned into a promoter, and you just backed into, kind of like you backed into the podcast, and now you're backed into promoting. I mean, I'd officially say that you can't avoid it. You're a promoter.
Yeah.
As well, at least a music concert promoter, which is a big deal. And which, you know, I also, you came on for your first birthday show, or your second. I think we missed you on your first. I think your second.
Yeah, that sounds
good. I think you, because didn't Steve Ewing do the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we came in after that one, and that wasn't even official. I mean, it didn't turn into an annual thing. It just happened. The next year, you're like, let's make it an annual thing. Yeah. So who's going to be there this year, and where's it going to be at?
So June 22nd, we're celebrating 5 years of Rock Paper Podcast, and it'll be at Broadway Oyster Bar. One of my favorite spots for sure, and we're bringing along Amanda Fish, who is blowing up right now. I mean, she's incredible. But this year, 2019, named Blues Music Awards.
Oh, I saw you share that.
Yeah, best emerging artist of the year. So that was really nice to get a nod, a national exposure and everything now for that. So yeah, I'm really excited to have her a part of this event. Tony Campanella will also be there, who's taken off too. He's got he's been around St. Louis about 20 something years.
Wow.
Playing guitar, and he's one of my favorites to watch. People might recognize him from he does the Stevie Ray Vaughan tribute
every year at
the pageant. So he plays a lot of that kind of same Texas blues kind of style, and
which you have to know what you're doing to even attempt a Stevie Ray Vaughan tribute. Right, yeah. That's pretty ballsy for a guitar player to go out and say, I'm just going to do some Stevie Ray Vaughan stuff. Yeah.
So he'll be there. He's got so he just put out his debut record after, you know, being around for this long. He just finally put out a record, and working with Mike Zito on that. And
now I'm sure you've talked to him on your show before.
Yeah. Totally.
What did he say? I mean, because 25 years is a long time to be playing music before you put out your own record.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it, like how, like, you know, obviously the thought had come up many years before, but it was just timing wasn't right for whatever reason.
Kind of motivation in your life and stuff. And
but he's, you know, he's at a point now where he, you know, wants to get out doing the road and stuff more and that kind of things.
I got to say, after that long, you've probably refined your craft enough to where it's going to be a good record.
Yeah, right.
And it's never too late.
Yeah, that's right.
Never
that's
too
no doubt.
Late.
No doubt.
So he's got, the record's out now and charted on Billboard Blues charts and all that stuff.
Awesome.
So, like, he's doing real well with that. And come down and pick up a copy of his new record. And then also on the bill is Odds Lane, who happened to be Tony's rhythm section. So so they're playing, doing double duty for the night. And but they they're another great band. They've been around St. Louis a while. They got a brand new record coming out on June 7th also. So they'll have a brand new record at the party. So
Oh, that's great. It's kind of a double thing for them to celebrate you and promote a brand new album for them.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be a fun night. So yeah, three great bands, music from 10 to 2. It's an $8 cover for the event. We also will have live art for my friend Jessica Hitchcock. She'll be doing a live painting throughout the evening. So.
Oh,
that
cool.
is awesome. Yeah.
Now, is it going to be auctioned off or sold at the end of the night? Or
we haven't clarified detail. I'm pretty sure somebody's going to go home with it that night.
That'd
be
cool,
too. I don't know how we're going to do that, if we're going to do a raffle or an auction or whatever, but yeah, somebody's going to go home with a one-of-a-kind piece of original artwork. And
that's awesome.
So. And that's June 22nd. Yeah. And help me out. Is that a Friday or Saturday?
That's a Saturday
Oh,
night.
So that's way better.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get to make one this time. I mean,
that'd be
Saturdays
awesome.
Fridays are always tough, and Saturdays are way easier. Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be great.
Well, and if you haven't, if anybody listening hasn't been down there, incredible food.
Oh, some of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the best.
Good. Cold drinks all night, so you know, can't go wrong.
Sorry. I've been drunk and disorderly in the daytime and asked almost to leave, and I've had the best time of my life and been protected on my bachelor party there at night. So I was clearly too drunk to drink anymore, but they were taking care of me that night because it was a group of bachelor party, and they're like, somebody's got to at least look out for that guy. So it's an awesome place, and the food is awesome.
And when the patio's all opened up now, so we'll be you know, under the stars all night having
That's
a great
awesome.
Time. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. I'm really excited about it.
I bet they're going – are they open today?
Yes, sir.
Probably going to be really, really not a lot of people out drinking and celebrating tonight's Blues game downtown, I wouldn't think.
Yeah.
I bet it's going to be everywhere downtown, even on Monday, and it's typically a stay-at-home day. I bet it's going to be a madhouse because people are going to go celebrate – Game one of the Stanley Cup tonight.
Well, there's
as you're listening to this.
Is there a watching party for game one, or there's a watching party at...
At the Ballpark Village is happening.
Yeah.
We want the cup parties every away game. So.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you don't know, if you're living under a rock, that would be against the Boston Bruins. As you listen to this, it is, in fact, Memorial Day. So happy Memorial Day to all those people. If you're listening to this, probably tomorrow. Or as we record this, and as you listen, it would be the next day, I'm sure. But so happy Memorial Day to everybody.
And you'll have already heard that the Blues have won.
Yeah, Blues have won. Hopefully tomorrow you're celebrating while listening to us. But so how far in advance, and you say you do the singer-songwriter showcase once a month, and you've got the anniversary coming up. How far in advance have you got these booked?
Well, the singer-songwriter showcase is pretty much booked throughout the rest of the year, so
nice.
I've got that.
That's awesome.
Got that taken care of. So.
And you usually have how many people for that?
Usually three. June 11th. I don't think I mentioned who's playing that, but June 11th, we're doing four for the anniversary. This is celebrating 1 year at Naked Vine, and that'll be so there's two bands essentially, there's two writers in each band. So Michael Eisenbeis and Susie Bacino of Fine to Drive is their group, and they'll be there. And then Dustin Brown and Michael Flynn are waiting for Flynn. So we're doing four riders sitting on stools, sharing stories,
awesome.
Behind these songs, and we're also gonna have some a chef from Sugar Fire. He's gonna be making some like gourmet grilled cheese out there on the patio and stuff.
That
and,
sounds like a good time. We love grilled cheese in this house.
Gourmet grilled cheese
It's gonna be awesome. So yeah, but I thought that'd be fun. Like, I didn't want to go like over the top, you know, because it's still like a listening room experience there. But I thought that would be a nice little something to give it a little more of a party vibe and stuff. Have some food out there.
Let me ask you, and I don't know if he's even into it or not. I'm sure you might have talked to him, but the guy that kind of, for all intents and purposes, kind of mentioned and hooked us up would have been my wife's cousin's husband, or her cousin by marriage, Justin.
Yeah.
His band needs to start looking at doing something and coming on there.
Yeah, yeah. He actually, we did a little live podcast thing down there, and he stopped by and hung out for a little bit with us, and so I think he's...
Did he do? He didn't do any of his songs or anything.
No, he was just got off work and stopped in and said hey. And
I think he is a kind of a guy. And what's the name of their band? Is Fire and Smoke?
Fire and Wood.
Fire and Wood. Yeah, Fire and Smoke is a restaurant. And
I think it's Salt and Smoke.
Well, they're in Illinois, in Glen Carbon.
If I remember correctly, there were tickets to something coming up, and there was multiple bands.
They're opening for Crazy Town.
That's it.
Yeah.
Crazy Town, of all people.
I know.
Sugar.
Yeah. I heard that on the radio today.
Where's that show at?
I don't remember offhand.
Foo Bar.
Oh, is it? Okay. What a weird. I don't see. Justin's, from what I heard, it's definitely not in line with the Crazy Town vibe. But that's another.
But you take what you get, right?
Oh, you got to
get your
people.
Name out there.
You
got
to get in front of people. And he took a big break. I'm sure it'll come back to him. It's like riding a horse, playing good shows. But I'm sure he still wants to get back up in front of a lot of people. And,
I'm sure that part of his following from AOO follows them now, but they had a huge following when they were.
Yeah, they played the pageant. They did some big thing.
Or he was. I don't know if the two gentlemen that play with him were a part of the first band.
You know, speaking of that, the different styles, one thing about your show, your birthday show, is you've had like different vibes on each show. Like you've had some heavier.
Sure.
Anniversary shows and
That's this one. I definitely want to get in more blues. I haven't really done a blues themed show yet. I like a lot of them. Like last year was very mixed genre. I had heavy rock. I had like indie rock. I had hip hop. Matthias and the Pirates,
which I'm a big fan of them.
Yeah, love them. And then I had a tuba and a ukulele duo. Playing covers and stuff.
That's awesome.
That's fun.
So like, there was a little bit of something for everybody on that show. This one's definitely more hard rock blues type of sound for this birthday party. And that's the thing. I just want to include all my friends and like, you know, offer a lot of variety. So this one happened to be that we're going more blues route. I wanted to do it at Oyster Bar, so I figured if I'm going there, I want to do more of a blues.
It fits the bar. Yeah, that's right. For darn sure. That's the venue for it. Now, last question I've got on what you got coming up. You said you did 14 shows next year. Here we are in May, so we're still in the first half of the year. How many are you gonna? Does this year look like it's gonna hold for you?
I think I'm on pace to pretty much do that again. Like I said, we got the 12 of the singer-songwriter showcase, and we'll do the birthday party, and then we're gearing up. Me and Lexi are talking doing
for Christmas again.
We're doing our Riffs or Gifts again. So
how did that end up going overall?
We did real well. Like I mean, for being a holiday weekend, we did Thanksgiving and.
She was a super great guest, even though we had her on the phone. Yeah, she was super awesome.
Lexi's awesome. Yeah. We did all right, though. We raised, like, over $2,500.
Nice.
And
it's a win.
Yeah, and everybody had a great time.
That's definitely $2,500 more dollars than they had at the beginning of the night. Yeah, that's awesome.
Me and Lexi got to go to Walmart and did a big old shopping spree, and I think we spent about $1,800 or something on toys and just filled up all these shopping carts, and they were Toys for Tots was there as a donation site for the day and all that. So it was fun just like to fill up these carts and take them out there to the trailer and put them in. And
that's
like,
awesome.
And, like,
yeah.
And then we gave the rest of them the cash and like and stuff. So
she might even be able to sing maybe this year if she you guys
she's,
did.
She's
back to doing it.
She's back to performing. She's every weekend. She's
she's
live.
Only got over here once since she's returned, and I think we were in out of town. That wasn't San Diego, but it was something like that. We were out of town. So when she gets back closer to, because Illinois, that's a different world when she's over there in Belleville. But we definitely want to go watch her too, because she's like I said, she's pretty fun chick, and does a lot of. She's got quite a story with the manly job and all that stuff, or quote unquote manly job, not to demean what she does, but she's awesome. So that'd be good to do. So, well, I'm super. Well, I should ask if Missy's got any questions.
Sure, I do.
Yeah, go
actually,
ahead.
I do. One, how do you remember everyone's name? Like, do you have a trick?
Facebook definitely helps with that. the fact that you see everybody's faces and names all the time. But I don't know, that's like the only thing I'm actually kind of good at. Like I don't forget faces, and sometimes names are a little tricky. It takes me a second sometimes.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't forget faces. Like I'll see people and I'm like, I know them from somewhere. Even if it's like the bagger at the grocery store kind of thing.
Right.
Or whatever. It's like, I know you, man. Where
I'm guessing too, that's... So the part of you that wanted to start the podcast and not just start the podcast, the part of you that's always wanted to be in the music scene and to promote and things like that, that has came forward. I think that's because that's the muscle you exercise.
Right.
I mean, I think you networking come natural for you. And with networking comes this, you know, this odd memory to know people's music and faces and stuff like that. So that's, yeah, that's a good question, though, because you probably meet more people on a weekly basis than I do, and I do sales. So. Well,
and then I work down the door at Oyster Bar, so I'm meeting people constantly down there. And
everyone knows you.
Yeah.
Like when from that job, everybody goes, "Oh, hey Shane." Yeah. Yeah. And when I was a doorman for a while, that was like we'd go places and everybody say, "Hey, Jeremy," and I'm like, "They're like, who's that?" I go, "I'm almost certain it was someone from the bar." You know, that's I have no clue who, but I'm certain it was. Right. So, anything else?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just gonna say though, just you know, I love that you know you come back on here to promote something all the time, but.
I love just hanging out with you.
Well, I was going to say, you've said it before. We should always try to hang out more. And sometimes even on this, like we just had Ken Calcaterra, someone that we both know.
Yeah.
He just wanted to come on for because he really wanted to talk about Game of Thrones.
I listened to that episode. I never watched an episode of Game of Thrones, so I skipped all that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense, which was a significant part of it.
Yeah.
So you listened to like 10 minutes?
I enjoyed the beginning and end.
Ken's a fun guy. Yeah, he's just a fun guy. And he, you know what, one thing, shout out to him too, he had I think it was NBC Sports produced piece this past week with Jeremy Roenick as a part of this thing, so he got to be a part of that. So that was pretty cool, and if you don't know, Jeremy Roenick's an all-time NHL great as well. He just wanted to come on to shoot the breeze on Game of Thrones, which we're not going to talk about the final episode since you're not a Game of Thrones fan. Let's just say, I'll say this real quick before we jump into anything else. I did not like the season. I didn't even particularly enjoy the final episode, but I did enjoy everyone's final. I thought they made their final story made sense, like the way it tied it together. I mean, what they each character end up doing, I was happy with. So, people, you can tweet at me and yell at me or send me a message and say, "Well, you're way off." Still didn't dig it. I just happened to like the final direction for each character. So
okay,
but
moving on.
I was telling you earlier. You said you brought some trailers and stuff to talk about and some things to talk about. And I wanted to talk, I don't know, I wanted a public service announcement for one. There's a tragic epidemic going on in this world, much like the Tide Pod epidemic that went on a few years back where dumb kids, and kids are dumb by nature. I was a kid once. I have kids. They're great kids, but sometimes they do dumb stuff. But as dumb as I think eating Tide Pods is, I think this new crisis that's hitting our world is even worse. And because I just saw in the news this past week, after three or four people died taking selfies this week, 269 people in the last year have died taking selfies.
On cliffs? Train tracks? Yeah. Or
like five of them in the
street,
last...
on a curb?
Five in the beginning of the year at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And it's... A person was mauled by a panther hopping first off, she hopped the protective barrier, and the panther got to her mauled. If a human can hop a protective barrier, I'd have to see the layout, because I'm fairly certain the panther could hop over the other way. So she must have, like, ventured in quite a bit.
But I feel like you could literally just ask any stranger, "Hey, can you take a picture?" And everyone's willing to do that for you. I've never run across a person that's like, no.
That's just it. It's not the picture. It's not the selfie, which the selfie is inherently... Probably you should let someone else take the picture always. One, it always comes out to be a better picture, but it's looking for the perfect selfie or the perfect picture. So they're like, you see this, like, for instance, the guy, if you don't have a queasy stomach, a great Instagram follower and Twitter follower, the James Kingston, he's one of these guys that illegally free climbs buildings and gets up and hangs off of them and takes pictures. People do that kind of stuff without the... I don't say training.
The ability
to do it. So they're getting on these ledges. Like I saw one where it was on the rim of some kind of smokestack that they'd climbed, and the girl took a selfie on top of her man's shoulder standing on the rim up top. You deserve to die if you die. I mean, if that's the way...
I'm not getting up high for anything.
For one, my wife is afraid of heights. But two... She really loved dumb people. So that's why I was like, I just know that were we to, like, if I were to ever say, you know what, I got a really good idea. For instance, we went on went to Chicago a couple years ago, and they've got this protective netting up on the observation deck of the Willis Tower, and we were up there. If that netting wasn't there, and I said, "Missy, I'm going to hop on the other side of this and take a picture," I think she'd divorce me.
People are just dumb. And I feel like if you're falling off a cliff trying to take the perfect picture, we're fine with you not being around anymore. You don't need to repopulate the earth with those brains.
That's a kind of natural selection that we didn't expect as people. But I don't know. What was I watching? I was watching yesterday The Matrix was on. I haven't watched The Matrix in forever, and I loved the original Matrix. The second two were just awful, but I loved the Smith. He tells Neo at one point, played by the all-time great Keanu Reeves, he tells him that that human beings, their sole purpose, they're the only mammal. He said, "You're not mammals. You're the only creatures on the planet that move to an area, overpopulate until you have to move to another area." He goes, "You're in fact a virus," and he may be right, but I think that some of the cures for being a virus is probably stupidity. Like, a virus moves into a part of the world where it can't survive, so it dies. I just think these people that are falling off of cliffs and getting hit I saw literally one. A guy wanted to get close to a train track and take a picture, and the train whacked him on the way by.
Like, why is
it didn't want he wasn't on the train tracks, but I don't think he realized that there's some overhang.
Duh! Like, come on.
There's not a good week that goes by that we're not traveling somewhere or driving, and Missy sees someone on their phone in the car and yells at them just from her car.
I mean, she can't. They or she. They, let's be real, she, because girls, women cannot drive. But it, yeah, I just really want to get a board, like a dry erase board, and just write "you're dumb" or "put your phone down" or just something to show it. And I don't ever want to. I want to honk, but I don't want to honk because I feel like I want to let them know, hey, get off your phone. But at the same time, I'm like, this could scare the shit out of them, and then they could cause a wreck next to me. So I'm always torn about honking.
That's like a Dumb and Dumber movie, yeah, like you honk and they swerve and wreck or something.
I just passive aggressively yell.
I don't know that we never talked about this on the podcast, but we had an incident with a crosswalk walker at the Deerberg Market, or the Schnucks, down in Cottleville. And we were driving along. This is my wife, by the way. We were driving along the parking lot, leaving the parking lot, and I was driving. I was not driving fast.
It's a parking lot.
I wasn't even within 20, 30 feet of this guy, and I was just kind of creeping along, but I didn't come to a stop because he had like 20 feet to cross, and he was almost across. But I guess as he got crossed,
when Jeremy stopped, he shook his head and mouthed something.
Like he MF'd me. Yeah.
Yes. So
I saw none of this.
Yeah. Instantly, I got angry.
And she rolled her window down.
I said he was trying to be nice, and he something.
Oh,
guy,
no, yeah. She goes, he was trying to be nice, asshole.
Oh, no, dickhead or dickhead, something, yeah.
And he, to which he replied, we shouldn't have been driving like a motherfucker through the parking lot or something. And so,
Jeremy's listen, like, what just happened?
I was blown away as to what happened. Also, it was so comical to me that my wife snapped, because she's in the past has done this in events. And I just, not that I'm just because I'm a big guy and stuff like that, but the guy was like of no threat.
We were in a car.
Well, no, but even if we got out of the car, I mean, the guy was not what you would call a physically imposing guy. He might have thrown his canned food. I don't know what he was carrying after us. It was just one of those things that, like, I shook my head at my wife's reaction and then just the absurdity of it all. Like, why did that guy choose to motherfuck me on the way by? It was like, what are you thinking, dude?
Made him, it was, first of all, it was raining.
Sprinkling. It was a little sprinkling.
So you made him stop for 3 seconds so he didn't think he was getting hit. We weren't going to hit him anyway.
Well, we weren't close.
We weren't even close. He was literally coming out of the parking lot. You know, there's always those little, like, areas where shrubbery is. He was literally at that point, and we were, yeah. So I was like, stop, and he motherfucked Jeremy, and I got mad.
Plus, if you think you're going to get hit, stopping's not the answer. Right. Diving out of the way would be more of the proper response. But, so that's another example of, like, if my wife perceives you to be dumb, you're getting no mercy from her. The flop is not one to no mercy. So.
Yeah.
Except on small and cuddly animals, she's fine. We've been trying to nurse these baby hatched birds that's been on that made a nest in our door decoration.
All right.
Spoiler alert, I gotta say this quiet so my kids upstairs don't hear. They did not survive, so we're bad nurses.
We had 5 eggs.
Yeah.
2 hatched. The other 3 got smushed or
another bird ate them or something.
So after the 2 hatched, 1 disappeared. So we had 1, and I thought it was gonna live, and we check on it all the time. And I looked yesterday and I was like, oh, well, that thing's upside down and not breathing and it stinks. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
If we could have just had one bird survived, I would have felt like a great individual for allowing a life to live in my front door that we couldn't use.
I don't know what the Yeah, pour one out for that bird. I don't know what the statistics are on how many hatched eggs end up surviving.
I don't know, but my plan...
By losing five, probably isn't in a dent on how many there's lost each day.
My plan from here on out is to get a couple birdhouses so they don't try and plant a nest or put a nest in...
It still was not our fault. It was definitely that stupid mom bird.
The last few years, we have a light outside our door right here, and they usually put a nest up in that light. And we never go there, so.
We never turn that light on. It's got an overhang. That bird, that mom bird that scouted that out knew what she was doing. The mom bird that scouted out our front door, I mean, you're just asking for it. That's like, you know, building your foundation on a beach. It's just stupid. It's stupid. Don't be a dumb mom bird. So the moral of the day story is don't be dumb. Yeah. I mean, the world needs thinning from time to time, you know.
Okay, so, Thanos.
Yeah, I'm going to snap my finger on that one. Way to tie it. Every once in a while, my wife gets a geek reference, and I'm just so proud of her. But, yeah. So that's that. I really just wanted to talk about the people that were dumb as dirt. I do want to know what movie trailers you brought to talk about and things of that nature.
Sure. Well, there's a couple I got. Just this week, we had the new Terminator trailer. See this one?
Yeah, first off, I think it looks good. It looks good, and it's James Cameron back to producing, so yeah. I'm excited about that. Arnold, by the way, I don't know if you saw the video. On a side note, Arnold getting drop kicked in Africa.
But that guy drop kicked him, and Arnold barely moved.
Yeah,
and so he was like,
it was some school thing, and he was clearly there for a publicity/fundraiser. And he's on his phone, like these girls are doing double dutch, so he's filming it. And some kid sprints from across the gym and drop kicks him in the back. And it doesn't knock him all the way up. First off, you drop kicked a 70-year-old man. Second, you drop kicked the most muscular 70-year-old man on the planet.
Right.
And they hauled the guy out, and I don't think they roughed him up. It was a kid, but the kid might have had a little crazy in him because he started screaming like weird stuff on the way out. And
was it Trump shit?
No. They were in Africa or Central America or somewhere that. So yeah, they're so far removed from Trump shit that I mean, I envy them that they don't have to deal with Trump shit, or at least the perception of Trump shit.
But Arnold did not press charges against that kid.
No,
which is fine. I mean,
he probably should bring him back over because the ball's on that kid and give him a job. But yeah. But back to the trailer. For one, it's a brand new kind of. It's not. It's like kind of a combination of the old school Terminator and the T-1000, which was the liquid form Terminator.
Right.
So it's a cool looking Terminator. And I dig the girl that's in it. She's what's her name? She's been in a bunch of good movies. She was she's the girl that I used to confuse with Captain Marvel, Brie Larson, all the time. They're two different girls, but they come up around the same time. She's all buff in it. The original woman's back. She looks all cool in it and stuff. They're doing a lot of right things. I just, you know, it's just like with Aliens and with Predators. If I see it and it's good, I'll be happy. Yeah. If I see it and it's not good, I will not be surprised. So
yeah, I know. Like you're saying, it was fun to see Arnold and her Sarah Connor back in
Original Sarah Connor. Yeah.
So like it was, you know, and it, of course they're much older now, but you know, it's fun to see them today, you know, and like
and still look good. Yeah, like I said, sure. He's in his 70s. She looks great too, by the way. What a career she's had too. She's been Sarah Connor for the better part of her life.
Yeah.
She started as Beauty and the Beast, the TV series, action Beauty and the Beast. She's like the female Luke Skywalker, like Mark Hamill. She's like one role has made her famous,
right.
And she's
that's all you need, right?
I guess if it's like this, yeah. You know, one thing they've got to do is I know it sounds crazy because we're actually talking about a killer robot and a killer robot that can reform itself and turn liquid almost. I mean, so your suspension of disbelief has to be there a little bit, so it sounds silly to say they got to get the story right, but because of so much time travel and how many movies we've saw, like what movie are they ignoring to make the story fit? I didn't even watch the last one. I don't even know that with the girl. I never watched it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I did recently, and
I haven't even seen the original.
What?
Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't even know what to say.
I'm blown away.
No, I haven't.
That's still an all-time classic.
Yeah.
The first two, yeah. The Terminator and then T2, the both James Cameron films.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both great.
Just unbelievable.
I'm sure I'll see. I mean, you're probably going to make me watch it now, which is fine.
I think that's a day. I think we just found a day. Yeah, and I could be wrong. James Cameron did both. Yeah, that's right. And they're fantastic movies. But
what's that? Edward Furlong, right?
Yeah, he was.
He's really good.
Wasn't there another boy though?
No.
Or was it always Ed Furlong?
Yeah, he was the main one. Yeah. What is he?
Ed Furlong? I thought one of the guys that played that character as a kid is now dead.
No, I don't think so. He had some trouble.
Maybe
didn't
I'm
he? Or has he always been doing good?
I don't know. You want me to look it up?
Yeah, look up. Right. I don't even know what his
You might be confused because he always plays that kid that get in trouble, you know, like American History X and stuff too.
Yeah.
Like he always plays that kind of a rough kid.
Yeah, what's he done? I feel like his name popped up in recent history. I think he's doing something. He's not like those twins from the Kevin Smith movies and stuff and Dazed and Confused. Those guys, the ones that like had hit the rock bottom from that same time period, but I don't know. I'm excited for it.
I think it's gonna be fun.
I'm more excited for it than I was the recent movie that Bender brought up, the Predator, which was an awful movie, an awful movie. And I hear they're gonna try Aliens again, which I don't know. I think the best thing to do is may get Ridley Scott out of that and try to replicate the formula that worked for all these movies when James Cameron and Ridley Scott and all these guys were unknowns. Bring somebody in that's new and with a good vision and let them do it. But definitely don't rehash the same old shit and complicate the story more often. But I'm excited about that. So
I had a couple of others recently kind of going into the DC world with the Joker trailer that I'm with Joaquin Phoenix.
Now, we've talked about the Joker trailer on here.
And then the new Batman with Robert Pattinson.
All right, so these are two separate topics. I want to know what you think of the Joker trailer first, because I'll give you the perspective of a significant amount of the comic book guys, because I represent them. But what do you think of the trailer as a layman?
As a fan, like I think Joaquin Phoenix does a really good job with the role. I mean, I obviously just from judging the trailer, but like, I think it's going to be cool. I think he's crazy enough to kind of pull off that.
Oh, certainly. He's done that in the past.
Would you put him in the crazy category with like Johnny Depp and the original Joker?
Heath Ledger.
Yes. Yeah. Like there was something a little off with these guys, but they always had great roles.
Yeah. Well, for the Heath Ledger, though, I mean, he was a pretty boy. Like, I don't know that people thought he was off. I think it was that role that people were like, well, this guy's got some demons in him.
Oh, yeah. He did have demons.
Yeah,
It didn't have anything to do with Brokeback Mountain or Joker. There were things. He did not like the spotlight. He just wanted to act. But, you know, going along with all that, you had to get out into the spotlight.
I think that once you know Jake Gyllenhaal's love, you can't live without him. And that probably drove him crazy. Jake Gyllenhaal is dreamy.
He could not quit Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's dreamy. I'd probably make him
breakfast.
But
I feel like all the, like, look at Tom Cruise. He's a great actor.
A little crazy. Yeah.
Cuckoo. Johnny Depp, he's a very eccentric person.
He's
and
a nut
has
job.
Had great roles. Joaquin Phoenix, the whole family itself is a little eccentric, a little.
Well, he was there when his brother died.
Right, but that whole family as a whole, I feel like are not that this is a bad thing, but are hippies a little?
If you were
free with the world, I mean, you had Joaquin River Leaf. Well, wasn't Joaquin Leaf?
I don't know.
What is that? One of them.
I know.
I feel like Joaquin was Leaf at one point.
River was always River.
But all the kids had like hippie-ish names like that.
If your family is the Phoenix, don't you call yourself Phoenix Force instead of the Phoenix family? Because that would just be cool as shit. We're the Phoenix Force.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
That's cool. But the movie, though. So the movie, I think, looks awesome. And I think he looks like the best. And I'm not demeaning Joaquin Phoenix, but he looks like the best carbon copy of what Heath Ledger did.
Yeah.
And so I'm in on the movie.
I think it's a cool idea too to have a standalone Joker film too. Like
I think the problem with it is what comic book fans have, and I think it'll succeed. I mean, comic book movies, when they fail, they make a lot of money.
Right.
But what comic book fans don't want, and I know where they're coming from here, and I kind of feel the same way, but again, I also can appreciate a good film, is the Joker's one of the, because the movie looks like it depicts him as a tragic villain. And Joker, there's a great, and we've mentioned this on my spinoff podcast, The Comic Pod. Joker, there's a great line in a comic book once called DC Villains or Villains United, something like that. And it was a bunch of bad guys sitting around, and the Joker was on the planet with them, and it was kind of like a penitentiary planet. And one of the bad guys, so what's so great about him? And the other bad guy goes, well, you know when parents want their kid to go to sleep, they tell them stories of the boogeyman? And he's like, yeah. He goes, well, when villains want to go to sleep, they tell their kid's story of the Joker. So he's like the evil. He's the most, he's the clown prince of crime. There's no through line to anything he does. And one of the cool things that's about him is that we don't know why, where, or how he got to where he is. And we don't know what his motivation is other than to be chaos. And I think when you create that tragic figure, or when you give him a backstory, I think it kind of detracts a little bit to what makes the Joker so great.
Right.
Like, one of the reasons Heath Ledger's characters work so good is during that movie, he gave us like 6 origins. And not one of them we know if it was accurate or true. And so that's nitpicking, because that's what the comic book world kind of is like. I don't know about this. Now, the movie fan in me, and I got a movie trailer I want to talk about here in a minute. The movie fan in me says, man, the trailer's cut well. The scene looks good. The way the ambiance, the whole mood it sets, I think it looks awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it a chance, because I also think Joaquin Phoenix is a fucking great actor.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite dark comedies ever made is Clay Pigeons, with him and Janine Garofalo, and speaking of a Joker type character, why am I blanking on his name? He's only Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
And Vince Vaughn plays this cowboy hitchhiking truck driver who has this weird laugh, the Vince Vaughn laugh, and the whole movie is about he's a serial killer. And Joaquin Phoenix kind of getting blamed for it, and he kind of knows he's a serial killer, and Janine Garofalo's the detective that's trying to bust him. But it's an awesome movie. And that was like the beginning of Joaquin's career, and throughout his whole career, he's made some amazing movies.
Yeah.
I don't have any doubt that this won't be amazing, too. So I'm excited about it. Did you ever watch that trailer? Did I show it to you?
No.
She's not a trailer watcher.
Yeah.
I forced her to watch the It 2 trailer because we're going to go see that as a family, because we're great parents. We're taking our daughters to go see that that movie.
That was another one on my list. That looks awesome.
Did you watch the first?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my youngest daughter, my 8-year-old, thought it was one of the best movies of last year.
It's a great movie for sure. Like,
she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. That's what I try to tell people. Like, yeah, there's some scarier moments with Pennywise, but overall, the movie's really funny. Like, there's a lot of comedy throughout the whole thing, especially like the friends, you know, like they're just,
the loser club. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah.
It reminded me a lot. Like, I mean, obviously it's, you know, Stephen King too, but Stand By Me, the group.
Oh yeah.
It did
have that feel to it.
I think it captured what was so awesome about Stand By Me.
Right.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Which is a hard thing to capture, because that cast, that movie,
that
just worked. It's
speaking
one of the top
of River Phoenix.
Yeah, speaking of it, one of the top 3 or 4 Stephen King movies.
Right.
So I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt real quick. Joaquin Phoenix is also known as Lee Phoenix.
Is that his real name or?
No, he was born Joaquin Raphael Bottom. But when he was younger, I remember him being Lee Phoenix, like the Space Camp movie. Was it Space Camp?
Yeah, that he was in. Yeah, when he was the younger.
Yeah,
I think
he was Lee Phoenix then, and then once he became older, he changed it to his natural name of Joaquin.
Huh.
Which I think is odd, but okay.
I wonder where Phoenix come from for him. I guess Bottom, Joaquin Bottom. I think that's a cool name. River Bottom? You don't want to be that. You don't want to be River Bottom. You had to change your name.
Maybe that's where they're from.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, to the other thing you brought up, and there's you couldn't bring up a more polarizing thing in the comic book world right now than Robert Pattinson,
right?
As the new Batman.
Which is, for me, is way more weird than Ben Affleck being Batman.
So
he's way thin.
Well, they all bulk up. Chris Pratt was a tubby, and he muscled up for it.
But they're all like normal sized people. Robert Pattinson is literally like skin and bones.
He's gonna have to bulk up a little. I mean, who else? Paul Rudd. I mean, he turned himself into a when he was
still a normal sized individual.
Yeah. Well, so here's the only, not necessarily the only, he just looks so young. I think that's one of the, if I step back and I ignore where he came from and ignore the complaints about that, I would say, man, he looks young, but they got to do something different with Batman. Because Batman, so the original Batman, the Michael Keaton Batman, that was a masterpiece. It wasn't my favorite Batman movie, but it was a great movie. The second, third, they were awful. There might have even been a fourth, I can't remember. The Nolanverse, the first and second, and I still think the second to this day is the greatest comic book movie of all time with Heath Ledger. I think it's even better than Endgame and Infinity War, even though those are better spectacles. It's still the best comic book movie. It's amazing. Yeah. It's an amazing film. The third one, and then Ben Affleck. I don't think Ben Affleck did a bad job as much as those movies did a bad job for Batman.
Yeah.
So
I saw or heard Stern was kind of talking about Batman recently on the show, and he was talking about George Clooney and how he like warned Affleck like, don't do it. He's like,
yeah,
even if you do a good job at it, if the story's not there, they're blame you.
Exactly. It's like he's a quarterback.
Right. Because it's your fault the movie didn't do well, even though like all you did was act it. You know, it's like you didn't write the story or whatever. All you did was perform.
Right.
But yeah. So anyway, well, I mean, obviously, that's why Clooney, he gets blamed for how terrible that movie is.
And we forget Val Kilmer, his was so bad. Yeah. Clooney's had more to do with Joel Schumacher, who put nipples on his suit and brought in penguins on roller skates. Yeah. It was just awful.
I mean, the same time, like an actor can read through a script and I feel like would know all this is going to be horrible.
Dollar signs help that. Right. Yeah. I mean, you're going to make bank regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, what did Arnold make? Arnold made a ton of money doing that Mr. Freeze.
Oh, maybe the worst Arnold role ever.
Yeah.
So one of my friends put out a good, he owns a comic book store in Joplin, and he's a comic book writer. Shout out to Hurley's Heroes and Jason Hurley. He writes a very well critically received comic for Image called The Beauty with some of his friends who are also from Joplin. Joplin Springfield's got a good hotbed of comic book talent that are working, making a living doing comics right now, which is very hard to do. He put a great tweet, like he goes, from the Wayback Vault, man, I can't believe they casted Mr. Mom as Batman. This movie's going to be awful.
Yeah, exactly.
And I got to tell you, and they said,
there's always going to be a complaint about whoever you put in that role.
Sure. Well, there's another one that said, for all those people thinking that they cast this guy as Batman and they showed him in Twilight, they go, remember, they also casted this guy. And they showed all these artistic films and these well-received films that he's been in where he's been, dirty or burly or just acted the shit out of them.
Right.
Robert Pattinson's not a bad actor. He just is famous for a shitty movie franchise.
But again, he had to get a start somewhere.
Yeah.
How people know him.
Yeah, and by the way, that shitty movie franchise means that he probably wouldn't have to work again for the rest of his life. So who's the dummy, him or us?
Right. I mean,
he got a movie that only guys shit on him for.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, I guess guys aren't going to go see my films because I was in Twilight, but ha ha ha, I can afford to buy all of you, so who cares?
And ha ha ha, I'm Batman now, so fuck all of you.
I gotta tell you, there's a picture that of him where his head's down and he's kind of turned, it's just kind of a silhouette of him and the lights cast and he's wearing a suit. I got bad news for people. That's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
That pic is Bruce Wayne. So I'm not shitting on it. I'm pretty excited because they do need to go younger.
Well, I think, just like you're saying, Mr. Mom, I think we had the same conversation when Heath Ledger was the Joker. Everybody, because, like,
people wanted Crispin Glover, who's crazy.
Yeah.
But
you know, Heath Ledger, 10 Things I Hate About You, or whatever, all those, like, teen movies and stuff, and, like, he's that pretty boy kind of thing, and it's like, how's he going to do this? And then he crushes it, and everybody's like,
oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, man, this guy is my favorite now.
So. Now, instead of people are saying, how was Heath going to do it, people are going to say, how can anyone measure up to Heath Ledger?
Exactly. Yeah.
He won an Oscar for being a comic book bad guy, for being the Joker.
Yeah.
So when people go back and they say, when people always ask me as a comic book fan, a guy that owned a comic before, they say, who's the greatest bad guy in comics? It's the Joker. It's the Joker. Thanos is great. Dr. Doom's one of my favorite, if not my favorite. But the best bad guy in comic books is the Joker. And I know it's kind of a cheesy way to look at it. A guy won the Oscar for playing him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not an argument. And by the way, 10 Things I Hate About You, a masterpiece also.
Yeah.
Every time it's on TV,
we watch it. We stop to watch it. Always.
Yeah, we watch it. I mean, that's a...
There's a dick on my face, isn't there?
That's a great movie.
For a moment, I was like, no, Shane, there's not. And then I got it.
that's awesome. Oh, by the way, another Batman alum, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in that movie with his very bad long hair.
Robin.
Yeah. Robin, yeah.
Oh, he's going to be Robin?
Well, no, at the end of the Nolanverse Batman, he was he was set to take over the Batman. And that was a very bad ending to the Bat franchise. But he goes to the woman Bruce Wayne leaves him essentially keys to the cave. And his name in it, I can't remember what his name is, but the woman when he goes at the very end to register something, she goes, I don't seem to find you. He goes, oh, go by my real name, Robin. And we're like, oh, great. Yeah. You really forced that one on me. But still, I mean, you give him a little break, so.
Yeah.
I got a trailer for you real quick. And not only is the trailer shown, but Hollywood has already got a chance to see the film, and that's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The ninth film from Quentin Tarantino.
I am super stoked about this. This is right in my wheelhouse. This storyline itself.
Well, my favorite director, and it's not even a close contest, is Quentin Tarantino. I've said this before in this podcast, and my whole idea to have a pop culture podcast, my deep dive into comic books and pop culture, it's two people are directly responsible for that. Quentin Tarantino and Kevin Smith. And I thought Kevin Smith was going to be my guy going forward, and he still is. But then my senior year or junior year of high school, Pulp Fiction came out. And before we went to go see it, my buddy goes, oh, if you think we should watch this movie, this is his first movie, which was Reservoir Dogs. And so I saw Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction in the same week for the first time. I don't know in my life I'll ever get a better movie week than that. That was so great. But the Hollywood is now getting to see it. And while everyone the people that have said it's great, they're like, it's amazing. Like, it's unbelievable. And it's just like Inglourious Basterds. It's a bit of fan fiction or historical, it's historical porn.
It's dramatized history.
They're making a little, he's taking a lot of liberties with the history that went on then.
How bloody do you think this thing will be?
The second trailer, which you haven't watched yet, you gotta watch, because that one's the one that shows you Charles Manson. But I think it's gonna get bloody at the end of it. But man, the critics have all watched it, and they've like, some critics are like, this is the perfect vehicle. This is what he's worked his whole career to get. And then other critics are like, well, this is the most Tarantino story you could ever get. So of course he did it. And I think they meant that as a negative, but that just won me over more.
Like, sure. Is this supposed to be his last, or is he still out there to make more?
When he made the eight.
Crazy Eight?
Hateful Eight. Yeah, Hateful Eight. When he made Hateful Eight, right before he filmed that, he had already mentioned and put it out there that he was going to make one more film. And then as he was making that, he goes, I think I've got two more films in me. And then
two more after that?
Two more after that. And then, so this is his ninth. And now he said, if I made nine, 10 seems like a no-brainer.
Do you think it's weird to think about someone only making potentially, 10, 11, 12 movies and being one of the best directors of all time? And you have all these directors out there that have made tons of movies. Not everyone's a winner.
It's the James Dean argument. Is James Dean that great an actor because his two or three movies, which, by the way, he was nominated twice from 1 year after he died.
Yeah, but he died before we even got to really see his body.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But he's considered one of the all-time greats, and he was nominated twice for Best Actor in the same year. But is he an all-time great because of his work or because he died? So, I mean, the same thing with, I know it's Tarantino's not dying, but I think ten films is 10 films. That's hard to do. There's some directors that barely get one, much less 10. But he said going into this, 10 sounds like a great number. And then a few weeks ago he said, I don't know, I feel like I got a bunch of stories left, so I'm just going to play it by ear from here on out.
I feel like he could just do a bunch of stories in one. I mean, he's already kind of went along those lines. You could just do a bunch of stories in one. Kind of like, this is a bad example probably, but VHS.
Oh, those
you know,
are great,
those
yeah.
type, not a handheld.
You've never seen those if you're a Scary Movie fan at all. The VHSs may scare the shit out of
it. Not a handheld version, but you know, there's multiple stories.
Anthology series.
Yeah, like an anthology. Well, but kind of all connected. I mean, Pulp Fiction is multiple stories in one.
And all of his stories kind of have that same pacing. Yeah. Well, and as a Tarantino fan, a diehard Tarantino fan, I think me, as well as, I think I can speak for the Tarantino faithful out there, we are all, because he did say that he filmed scenes with the original girl from Kill Bill, and that a Kill Bill sequel may be the big film that he'll go out on.
You say girl, the daughter?
Yeah, the daughter of the first girl, that Beatrix Kidd killed. The what was the black woman that played her, who was
Vivica Fox?
Yeah, her daughter. Remember her daughter? She said, "If you want to get revenge on me later, I understand." And so he filmed a bunch of scenes with that girl, just in case he decided to make
That's
a
awesome.
Sequel. So,
and then what if it's that girl and
her daughter,
Beatrix Kiddo's daughter? Oh man, that would be awesome. Well, that just gave me the chills, y'all.
And I count Kill Bill as one movie. That's one movie. It was so long he had to break it up. So I think it would be his first sequel. And oh my God, what a great! That would be awesome. So yeah. I'm in on that. If he ever decides to do it, I don't know if he's going to kickstart it. I don't think he has to, but I'll give you $10. Here you go. I'm a Kickstarter guy. I'll throw you $10. So. But
I wish you would only throw in $10 to Kickstarter.
I just kickstarted a backpack thing for $159.
$160.
Yeah.
Let's round up.
I love Kickstarter. Well, and the guy that I followed is a guy named Zane Lamprey, who kind of was one of the inspirations for this podcast, because he was a guy that did a lot of TV shows where he went around the world, drank in the country and drank. And we used to, it was a show called Drinking Made Easy, and every Wednesday it would debut. So when we first started dating, we would call it Drinking Made Wednesdays, and we'd watch the new episode and drink a new beer right along with him, because he made a drinking game out of his show. And so he's done like adventure. He's a very big environmental hiker and stuff, loves the nature. So he did a drinking jacket, and then he changed it to the adventure jacket. Now he's got the adventure backpack. I kickstart all his stuff. I'm a sucker for it.
I backed the coolest cooler on there. You guys see that?
I did not see that one.
It's your regular typical, you know, barbecue cooler, but it's got wider wheels for transportation. It's got a blender for your drinks. It's got plates, a knife, Bluetooth speaker.
Has it already came in?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I have it.
And you use it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's definitely the coolest cooler.
You had me a blender, even though I don't drink mixed drinks like that. But.
Yeah, I don't either, but like, it's still cool to have.
It's good
like,
to know it's there. Yeah, I mean, or a smoothie in the morning.
Yeah, if you take it on a float trip or whatever.
We can make margaritas, blended margaritas right there
on the bank.
On the bank, yeah.
It's got like a divide so you can keep your... plain ice for your margaritas or whatever and stuff. And
That's a really cool item, I feel.
Yeah.
I kickstarted that. I've kickstarted the jacket. I kickstarted here's where I'm going to get geeky, D&D thing once. I kickstarted a board game, which I really want to play it. The board game's awesome, by the way. And, you know, all these board games that people play, and this is a very complicated board game. The whole idea of this board game, it's a cabin in the woods kind of scenario. Mm. And instead of picking the people to survive, you have to pick the bad guy to kill all the people. So I thought that was fun, and it looks cool. And then I got one more Kickstarter that I'm waiting. It's already been funded.
What?
It was a movie, a documentary on Gary Gygax, which is the creator of D&D. And it was only cost me $20, and I get a digital download of the film before it goes to all the festivals and stuff, which I'm super. And I get credits in the credits.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm a producer too. Yeah. That's a new hat. So I'm excited about that. I got to tell you, Kickstarter, like, I don't just willy nilly search Kickstarter, but if something makes it to my radar and I think it's great, man, I'm all on board. I mean, if the podcast ever got more popular and I needed better equipment, I'd kickstart that. You know, I mean, it's a good crowdfunding's got its place.
Yeah.
Veronica Mars film was made with crowdfunding, but, you know, it also, I don't know. It also, some people, like poor Zach Braff, may be the worst example. If you've never read that story, look at his Kickstarter or GoFundMe or whatever he did, where he was asking for films to make a new, or funds to make a new film. And then he was giving his updates while riding the back of a jet ski and like somewhere super nice that only celebrities go. It's like, oh, you kind of, you lost your crowd with that
one. No doubt.
But and Zach Braff's made great movies. It just was, there's professional Kickstart runners out there and GoFundMe guys that will help you get maximized money, which, what a weird job.
No, it's right. It's similar to a resume builder.
Yeah, I mean, what
basically.
It is. What a weird job. I mean, so knowing the world we live in, I mean, you've done a great job at it, and we've both talked to some guys that started well after us that are doing a very good job and getting some notoriety for it and stuff too. What a weird world to know that there's things like that crowdfunding out there. I mean, essentially, we're also looking for crowdfunding success, but all we're asking for is you to spread our message or share the podcast and stuff. Right. It's a weird thing to ask for, to know you can get successful at it. And by the way, I was thinking this. I don't know the name, so you'll have to forgive me, but there's this YouTuber that does the makeup, the guy. Our daughters know
James
him.
Charles.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Well, there's two, but are you talking about the one that's getting a bunch of crap right
yes,
now?
Yes, yeah.
James Charles.
So this guy, I don't know if you saw this guy, but he was like 9 million followers or 7 million followers.
It was a ridiculous
something
amount.
Stupid.
It's 15 million, I believe, is what it was.
And then he went to war with another guy and oh, yeah, you'll have to help me.
Went to war with his mentor, who is another female makeup blogger, but she doesn't back other products. Well, let me rephrase. She backs other products, but she doesn't take any money for it. She only takes, like, when she does things, she only really does, like, showcases things important to her.
Yeah, so, and you'll
but
have
he,
to...
Yeah, he totally bashed on her, and that was
well,
his mentor.
What he didn't bash on her, and you can fill in the details I may be missing, but what happened was is she's his mentor, she was his buddy, and she's got an arch enemy in the YouTube makeup world. And that person came out with a product that he endorsed, so it made her mad. That coupled with the fact that he supposedly tried to seduce a couple of straight guys, and they got a little flack for it, he lost half his viewership overnight. Like, and I always think to myself, like, what if you, Shane, or I get so popular that, like, right now, I can say any fucking thing I want. Because I have, I don't know... Maybe we've lost downloads due to inconsistency and changing the name, and we built it back up. But great episodes still get a great spike. But there were for a while where I was averaging 1,000 downloads on 4 episodes a month, and I think that's good for a fledgling little podcast. But imagine those 1,000 people, or even if it's 250 people per episode, they don't give a shit. They're all on board. They've been here since day one. You know what I mean? But if you get to that level to where you have 10 million people downloading each episode, and now you're making a living on it, and suddenly 5 million of them left and half your nuts gone, I think that's where, if I weren't bald already, I think I'd lose my hair. Like, that's insane. Yeah. That's an insane level of like I said, what a world with the crowdfunding and the popularity thing. I mean, they're talking about taking away the likes, the visible likes from Instagram. And I hate this word, by the way, but influencers are up in arms over it, which is the stupidest job term we've ever come up with.
Which do you think is worse, influencers or these people like the Kardashians that got their fame from TV or sex tapes? Which is worse?
Well, at least sex tape, you're putting in work. You know?
Enjoyable work. It's something you already wanted to do anyway. You're probably doing it anyway. It's not like you were doing something. Your extra work was allowing a camera to be set up.
I saw the look in her eyes in that sex tape. She wasn't happy to be there. But no, the influencer job is definitely like, if someone ever says the apocalypse hits and there was guaranteed signs, influencer being a $1 million job was definitely one of the signs. But like, they're talking about taking away the visible likes from their page on Instagram, and the influencers are up in arms because they're like, those likes are how we make a living.
Yeah.
And to which I don't feel bad. I'm like, those likes should not be the way you make a living.
Well, I think that ties right back into the go full circle with your selfie deaths and stuff, because that's like why the people are doing it. They're like, people are obsessed over likes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
like, oh, so, social media in this world. So. Just, I think people are, with social media and phones and people are just so stupid. Like, and don't get me wrong, I'm not like technology bashing, because without technology, you wouldn't be able to do what you do, and Jeremy the same, and you couldn't get your word out there. Social media is not a horrible thing. I think a lot of this world misuse it.
Right. It's definitely the most unique weapon we have in the world, or the most unique thing, because a nuclear bomb can only be used one way. That's to kill. Social media can be used in a great way to raise awareness. It also can be used to influence elections. Teenage suicide among girls is up, and there's a lot of things that you could point to. Opioid, you know, the opioid addiction crisis.
Bullying is
a bullying, but so it, there's a direct correlation between the rise of social media and the rise of teenage suicide among girls. I mean, I've said this with my daughter a long time, is she and her friends, they're very clicky, and they're very infighting, and they change friends a lot. And Missy's like, man, I was not like that when I was a kid.
Not that much in middle school.
But I think the difference is when you get in high school is where that stuff has always naturally formed. Because of Instagram and even Facebook to an extent and things like
Snapchat, and Twitter.
It's all forming in fifth grade now. So by the time they get to seventh grade, they've got all of what they perceive
ammunition,
as growing up
yeah.
done. And the way friends should act is done, and they don't know. But yeah, it's a weird, weird world. I mean, it's good. I mean, at no point in the world have we been ever more connected. I mean, this is a absurd example because it's never going to happen. But if I had an opinion today, I could tweet it out, and I could get that to 70 million people. If it were the 1980s, I could get that to seven people guaranteed.
Right.
Everybody I could call in a 1 hour time frame would be all I could get. But it's why you have a moderate amount of success doing a music podcast. It's not even like you're going out and appealing to the whole country. What you're appealing to is local music in St. Louis, which has a voice. And some would argue in the last few years, you're part of that voice, and the reason that voice has gotten out there a little better, has a following, and you tapped right into it. And, God, it'd be awesome, and it may not even be what you want, but it'd be awesome. 5-10 years from now, we were like, oh, Shane's a national music reviewer. But even if that weren't the case, like you talked about promoting in St. Louis, which was kind of one of the dreams you had, I mean, I don't think it's absurd to say that you could accomplish your goal of having your own concert venue. I mean, and podcasting and the internet's 100% of the reason you're there. Well, hard work is, you know, a big factor in it, but you could work your ass off and still not have an outlet to show it, and you do now. So,
oh yeah, there's definitely pros and cons to social media, like you said, getting the word out on a business or an event. But then kids, because they don't know any better, use it in an evil way.
Kids are just so dumb. That's the problem. And I'm not for a totalitarian environment to where we control everything, but there definitely needs to be some parental regulation on kids.
That's what I was going to say. Parents really need to be more involved. I pick up my daughter's phone every couple weeks. She's a very good kid. She doesn't break rules. She is sassy. She rolls her eyes. She talks back.
She's a teenager.
If that's the worst that we're doing with our teenager, that's okay, but she literally does not break rules. And
oh, trust me, it pisses me off when she does it, and I get fired up. But then at the end of the day, you know, and I'll never tell her this. She's a great kid. No, I tell her she's a great kid, but I mean, all that other stuff is acceptable losses, so to speak. I mean, I'll deal with that. I mean, she's not out there robbing. She's definitely not e-cigaretting it up with some of her.
No,
I mean,
she thinks that's bad. So
kids
I'm
in
fine
sixth
with
grade
that.
Getting suspended from school for e-cigaretting is sixth grade, for fuck's sake. I mean, what else do you have wrote down on your thing before we?
Oh,
I know I saw one more thing. I think at least.
Why are you being so nosy? We tapped on the It 2 trailer. I think we put that on there.
Yeah.
Blinded by the Light, I thought, was if we got to it.
Is that the Springsteen one?
Yeah.
So there's two of those I really want to see. I want to see that one where all the Beatles songs in the world have disappeared.
Yeah, yes, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see the Blinded by the Light. I find it, let me ask your opinion on this, because I find it interesting that these are two, I almost feel stupid for bringing it up, because obviously the Beatles is not an American band. They're a British band, but I find it very not interesting in a way that I'm happy it's happening. Like, I'm happy they're doing it. But it's two completely removed countries that you would ever think to cover these two characters. And if you don't, are these two bands. So if you don't know what we're talking about, the yesterday or whatever, some guy wakes up from a biking accident and the entire world has had their memories erased from the Beatles. They don't know who they are. So he starts playing Beatles songs and taking credit for them and becomes the biggest songwriter on the planet. The other one is the Springsteen one. And what's the gist of it? It's he is in a country and it's set in the 80s.
Yeah. And then it's like sort of a coming of age tale, but he's really identifies with these
with Bruce
Springsteen lyrics and stuff that this guy's telling his stories and stuff kind of thing. And he's coming from like a, kind of a rural,
very impoverished area. I mean, it's
But he starts like wearing the flannel cutoffs.
Dressing like the poster.
Right, yeah,
like so. the boss poster. Yeah, right.
But he. I think both of these movies and same. I haven't watched it yet, but the Rocket Man.
Elton
John movie and
stuff too. Like, I think in all these movies, I think that makes them even greater movies because the music's so good.
The soundtrack. Yeah. So I have still yet to watch the Queen movie.
Right. I haven't got to see it.
But I've read critics that have watched both, and they say the Rocket Man's a superior film. Now, everyone has praised how good Malick was as Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
But everybody, and from all accounts, it's an enjoyable movie, but everybody, the critique is that it plays as a Queen's greatest hits. Now, the same critics that only were lukewarm, they were like, it's a B-, it's a good movie, but it's not a great movie, that were lukewarm on that, have said that what the Rocket Man did right is it just captured like a 3 or 4 year span of that really made Elton John.
Well, that's the problem. You can't
tell a life story.
You cannot tell a life story, especially on like the NWA. What was that?
Straight Outta Compton. Yeah.
You have multiple people. You cannot capture the essence of all of that and all of them in a 2-hour period.
You also have multiple points of view, and you got to really get the right story. So
I feel like in this instance, like instead of having a movie, and I'm not shitting on the movies, but we are currently watching Of Mics and Men, which is a Wu-Tang documentary. And I feel like you get, for lack of better words, the full story, because we're not getting the full story. We just watched the ODB episode, and it didn't really go into all his struggles and all his troubles and how he actually died.
So they hinted on there, like, he had some wrongful accusations by the police, which he did, but what they left out was all the things that he really did do that got him in trouble. But it's still a great documentary.
I feel like a documentary like this is better docufilm to track someone of that stature, like Elton John or Freddie Mercury. I feel like that's the way to go instead of making a movie and condensing such a time period, because I mean, you can't touch on everything that was important in their lives. You just touch on what maybe people know about and throw in a couple things that people didn't know about. It for me, it kind of almost cheapens their life. You don't see everything.
I think the big complaint for the Queen thing was from the LGBT community that they hinted at that when in actuality Queen was the first 100% outed band. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal.
Well, I think it took him a while. It's not like he was out.
No,
right
yeah,
away.
They waited till the 80s and stuff.
Yeah, and even when it wasn't even popular or accepted, not popular, that's the wrong word, accepted to be gay or lesbian.
Yeah, yeah. Feel free to adjust.
I know,
adjust
our chairs are not comfortable.
One of the, if I ever do GoFundMe, one of the monies that will be spent is to get comfortable stools.
And we won't sit this high. We'll sit back where we can relax.
What you brought up on that, what was the name of the Springsteen film again? It was Blinded by the Light. Yeah. that film and the Yesterday film, not that I'm not saying it because their music's any better, but I think what's cool about those with the soundtrack is I like it that they're using those to score something that has nothing to do with the band. So it's not a, you know, it's not an autobiographical film or a biographical film about them. So it's just, you know, pertains to their life. And let me ask you a good tie-in question to the Rock Paper Podcast. If of all the celebrity or the icons in music, if there was a, is there a better person to put on a singer-songwriter showcase than Bruce Springsteen?
I mean, that would be pretty awesome for sure. Like, there was a couple of guys actually around town. I mean, obviously they draw a lot of influence from Bruce. So I have a couple of friends that like are, you know, not Bruce, but I feel like I celebrate them just as
they have. Yeah. They're from that vein. Yeah.
This is going to be really ignorant of me, but can you understand them better than Bruce Springsteen? Like, he sounds like he has a mouthful of marbles.
Well, he sings with all of his.
He's
everything
got the
in him.
Bulldog underbite. Mm. He's just like a.
So Tom, you know, Tom on the show, that's his all-time favorite musician. Sure. I mean, that movie
Tom's
came
probably
going
to hate him.
And he's like,
that.
It's almost like they put a main line straight to my heart. So yeah.
That I do laugh every time I think of it. I think of Sandler's impression. And all he does is just mumble the whole time.
His Eddie Vedder the same way.
So you just kind of reminded me of something. Our daughter asked earlier, and this is
funny,
and I'm just saying it just to be funny. She wanted to know if you were related to Elvis Presley.
I said, so I told my oldest daughter that you're coming over to the podcast. She goes, he's the famous guy. I go, he's the guy that's doing he's really out there hustling and making something out of his podcast. Yes. And she goes, and what's his name? I said, Shane Presley. She goes, is he related to Elvis? And I said, no, but they both love music. So that's all that you need to know.
I know you won't because you're a little more reserved than I am. But if you went upstairs and just said hunka hunka bro, like, and did his moves, I would die laughing.
I hear you're a fan of my great uncle. Right. she'd get off on that. That's awesome.
As I leave, she said, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah. You know what, though? What's sad is she may not get the reference because she's a kid.
No,
she's,
she doesn't know.
Well, I guess we've been sitting here for a while, so I might as well just at least throw it to Missy and see if
So I didn't bring anything, but going back to the Phoenix...
Phoenix, yeah.
...conversation. So you wanted to know where Phoenix came from.
Yes.
It was the mother's maiden name. So John Lee Bottom was the dad.
River Bottom was his brother.
And the mom's name was like Arlen or something like that, but her name was Phoenix.
If you have the name Phoenix, don't give it up. You hyphenate that. I'm Phoenix Bottom. Okay, you keep the Phoenix. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, back in the
day. If your name was Phoenix, I would have changed my last name.
Oh, right. Sure. Anyway, so back in the day when they got married or had, I assume they were married. I don't know. Her name was.
Could go either way. That was a hippie time.
I don't know. But if you look on on Joaquin Phoenix Wikipedia, because you know that is all legit information.
100% accurate. Yeah.
It said her name and his name. And maybe they were married and she kept her own name because they were hippies and she was independent. I don't know. Or you could also, in the same vein, say back in those days, it was what you had to do. You had to take your husband's last name. So maybe they're not married. I don't know. I didn't read into it.
I never told you to take my last name. You just did it. Yours is hard to pronounce.
So, for anyone that doesn't know, Shane, you probably don't know, my last name was Haig, which was H, two A's in a row, and a G. And everyone mispronounced it as Hag, and the assholes out there pronounced it in the German way as Hog. Mm. And I was like, you know what? When I marry Jeremy, everyone will be able to say Bohannon.
They don't. They butcher it. Bohannon?
I get a lot of people at work call me Bohannon, and I'm like, well, that just sounds fancy. Mm. Like, but I'm not that fancy. It's Bohannon. It's Hannon.
Bohannon sounds like we're like Haagen-Dazs is the ice cream.
Well,
we should be
back
all
in the
time.
Day, I would say Haagen-Dazs because it's
spelled like your name. Yeah,
it was the first part was the same, and
yeah.
So,
if you would have been Phoenix, none of this would have been a conversation. We'd have just all been Phoenix. It'd have been great.
I would have been in.
Did you ever see
Princess Consuela Banana Hammock?
Banana Hammock, yeah. What was Paul? Speaking of Paul Rudd, you brought up Paul Rudd. That was
Ass Bag.
Ass Bag, yeah. Friends, he changed his name to Phoebe changed her name to Princess what was it?
Princess Consuela Banana Hammock. Yeah. And he's like, okay, I'll just
be ass bag.
Crap bag. She couldn't say ass on TV. Right. Crap bag.
And so she changed her name back because she didn't want to be married to Crap Bag. Did you ever look up Eddie Furlong to see what else?
He's still alive and he hasn't done much since. And I actually, for some reason, I feel like.
I thought he got in trouble. Like
He has.
Oh, okay.
I didn't read too much into it.
She said that with the most serious look
ever. But they posted a picture and he looked like shit. So I was like, oh, he's been into drugs. I didn't really read into it.
There was, if you've not seen it, there's another great, thank God for, I mean, I shit on him sometimes. Sometimes I like him. But thank God for the internet for things like this. But I saw the Goonies. Then and Goonies 2019, and it's this, you know, the original
Sean Astin's blind as a bat.
Yeah, Sean Astin, Corey Feldman, Data, and Chunk. I don't even know his. I don't even know their name. I know
because
Chunk
they didn't do anything.
No, he's
that.
A lawyer.
Yeah, no, they didn't do anything in Hollywood. Well,
he got into entertainment law, and apparently he's very good at it. But good for him. But like, I mean,
he probably didn't even really need to do anything. I like he did. He's making money from being a lawyer because it's not like.
I hear it's got good, there's good money to be made
there. Yeah, I hear
there's
good money, but every time Goonies plays, you think they get money, right?
I bet they get like a nickel.
Or was it because it was like so long ago they didn't have...
I once listened to an episode of Joe Rogan with Everlast, and you know Everlast being the lead singer of House of Pain. He said that, you know, there were years where the House of Pain royalties dried up. But thanks to the UFC and Dana White, like they play anytime it plays in an arena or somewhere, he does get money. Yeah. He goes, just so you know, though, and he does it with that Everlast voice where he's real deep. He goes, just so you know, though, like, you know, if you play it in an arena, I'm getting about a half of a penny. That's about how much I get. So it's got to happen a lot. I don't go a month without getting a paycheck. He goes, sometimes those paychecks are only like two digits long. Sometimes the paychecks are four and five. But he goes, it's hard to tell how much. So
I have a question. If a band, a big band, we've seen a ton of big bands, and every band covers a song, are there royalties to that? Whoever that cover song is, like, so Foo Fighters, they always do at least one or two covers.
Yeah.
When I went and saw Dixie Chicks, half their freaking concert was covers.
So
which
in
was
concerts,
pissed
no.
Pissed me off.
No, in concerts, no. If they play it live, they don't
Nothing?
Owe them any money.
So you could just cover any song you wanted
because
and not have any fear of anything?
Yeah, because the reasoning is that they sold the ticket based on being a Dixie Chick. So the reason people are there that they're the Dixie Chicks. Now, the Dixie Chicks can choose to do whatever they want in show, but they're not selling the broadcast of the show.
Okay, so let's say they were making a live album.
Yes,
and they covered
have.
It.
Yeah.
If they covered a song, then they have to pay royalties to that.
Yes.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Well, and I'll give you the most recent and ungodly example of that.
Ariana
Grande did that Rodgers and Hammerstein song from Sound of Music. Seven. What's it called?
Seven rings.
So the going rate for the most part is 30 to 40% of whatever you make off that goes to the original artist. She paid out 75% or 70% of it because they're very particular on where their stuff goes. But she really wanted it. So she just essentially said, whatever I make. Yeah, and she's also okay. But, here's 70% of the song, you know, and that's just unbelievable.
And that's just one song. Like, everything else brings in tons of money.
But, yeah, so think about how much money Aaron Lewis has led up over the years by covering everybody else's songs on his album. I'm not a big Aaron Lewis fan. The reason I am, I can't poop on his talent because the guy's got talent, but the reason I'm not a big fan is because, you've bounced and doormanned and worked at bars. Any guy with one acoustic guitar that does a show sounds like Aaron Lewis at their bar. That's the going sound for him. And, right. But,
I don't know. I lost a lot when I get his point, but he should have handled it better. But like when he walked off stage, did you see that video?
I did not see that.
He just recently had a show.
Was that the Fred Durst thing?
No.
Okay.
This is just a couple weeks back. He's doing a show. I don't know what city, but he's basically telling them shut up and you know, if you guys don't get quiet, I'm not gonna play. And then they were kept like going on. And
was he the headliner?
Yeah. And
oh,
he just walked
shit.
Out all right, that's it, and left his guitar. And so I don't know. Like, And I get his point. Like, I hate that people talk so much at shows.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But still, like, there's a better way to handle it than just, like,
you know. Yeah, as a musician, it's a tricky situation because, like, you're not a it's not like you're a stand-up comic. Yeah. If you've never seen Bill Burr roast the crowd at Philadelphia, right. Bring that up. Because apparently it was, like, Richard Lewis or some, like, uber legendary stand-up went on before him, and the crowd kind of gave him a shit and booed him. So when Bill Burr came up, he's like, fuck you, Philly. And he said, how much time do I got? And they said, 15 minutes. He goes, well, I'm going to fucking torch this crowd for 15 minutes. And he was just drilling them. Like, you're the most, like, cornbread or like backwoods inbred and just nailing them with everything. And he goes, how much time? 10 more minutes. And he keeps going.
Wow.
So yeah. A stand-up comic can do that. But as a musician, if the crowd doesn't shut up, yeah. What are you going to do?
And you ruin one concert.
But you're
that,
right.
That could ruin you. I mean,
I get the both sides of the argument to where, like, you paid for the ticket. You're allowed to voice your displeasure, but you also paid for a ticket to see a show. So you should shut up and let that
show happen.
That's what I think. I lean towards that. Like, and by the way, if there's, let's say there was 5,000 people in there, it might have only been 1,000 that weren't talking, but right. Have some respect for the other 4,000.
I mean, like, why are we quiet in a movie theater? Or, you know, supposed to be.
So, yeah, when there's no one there to appreciate
it. In theory.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be quiet in the movie theater. We're supposed to be quiet in the comedy club. Supposed to be quiet in a theater at a play. But at a concert, everybody thinks, hey, I'll just talk over the whole show. Like, you know,
oh, no. Like, I might say things, but if I'm saying things during a concert, it's commenting on the performance. Right. It's like, man, that was badass. Or did you see that happen? Or whatever. If I'm at a concert, I'm in that moment.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
It's got...
Because if you're not, I mean, I don't know what concert this was. I don't know what concert this was. Were there multiple bands? If you didn't want to see Aaron Lewis, leave.
Right.
But if you're there, why are you talking? Like, this is, like, I get it. Some people talk. Women don't ever stop talking. But I'm just saying, like, you're there for a concert.
Well,
just enjoy it.
I think people probably feel like at a concert, especially a rock concert, it's loud. The mood is, you know, one of a little bit of aggression and excitement, so they feel like they can always talk and stuff. But you're right. If you, especially a more intimate, like, singer-songwriter showcase like yours, if you're at that, shut up.
Yeah.
We coming up here in the next few weeks, because of my work, I have to go to CMA Fest, which my company is one of the big sponsors. And I don't care about really hardly any of the country acts. And, you know, sorry, I got to be there for customers.
I enjoy country.
But even that's not the best build. But what I am excited about is we have a Friday night at the Bluebird Cafe, which is one of the more famous singer-songwriter cafes on the planet. Right. And the people that are performing are like these three or four old guys from the 70s and 80s that wrote a massive amount of all these songs, performing the songs themselves in an acoustic set.
Nice.
I am very excited about
me
that.
Too.
Like that, like... Like, the Bluebird Cafe only holds, like, 200 people, and we've got the tickets. And you have to buy tickets for it, but part of our job is that we get to go to that. So I'm super excited for that.
I'm super excited for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I get to go.
Yeah, she does get to go. And it's on the company dime, so she's very looking forward to that. But
not because it's on the company dime.
But they do say...
I've been wanting to go to Nashville with Jeremy since I went last year on a girls' trip, because I just feel like it's a very electric city. And... I just feel like Jeremy and I will have a blast there.
Yeah,
it'll be a good time.
We enjoy live music.
Of any sort.
So, and it'll be summertime, so it'll almost, even though you're indoor, have you been to Nashville, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really done, like, the full-on, you know, Broadway experience, you know, but, like, I've definitely been down for, I went to a show and went back for the night, and me and Stacy went down and saw Capitol Records Street Party one year with Alan Jackson, Eric Church.
Oh, see, I love Alan Jackson.
Yeah.
The guys I like a lot.
It was fun. Like, it was a free show, street party kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
We drove down for the day, hung out, and drove home. And
So I've only went once, and I went last year, and it's, you know, boom, 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 boom. Every bar is like that. But in the summer, I don't know what it's like in the winter, but in the summer, the front windows are open because usually they're just like plastic. You know, clear plastic, and so even though you're inside, it's like you're outside because it's all open, you know, coming from the street, and it's just an amazing experience. Yeah. I'm excited to share that with Jeremy. Like, even though he doesn't really dig country is, and I'm not a huge country fan. For me, and I said this the other day, like, there are certain times of year for certain music. And for me, I can't explain why, but summertime
when the
equals
warms,
country. Yeah. Like, country music is in the summertime for me.
For me, that's classic rock. When the weather warms up and the windows
that,
go down,
I'll
rock.
Agree with that, too. Because yeah. I just feel like you're outside and you're relaxed and you're having a good time. So maybe just have some good flows. It's not too hard, not too serious or anything like that.
Well, I tell you what, let's start winding down and wrap it up, because we got two girls that if we don't take them swimming here in a little bit, they're gonna lose their shit on us. And then we have a cul-de-sac party, which is exciting. You're invited. Anyone's invited. Tell the wife you guys come back. We're grilling. It'll be a good time.
Yeah.
But we started your throw it to Missy with you, and you had something. But you got anything else to wrap up on for anybody? Just when the dates and stuff and the places and times again.
Sure. Yeah. June 11th at Naked Vine is be 1 year of the singer-songwriter storytelling showcase featuring Susie and Michael of Find a Drive and Michael and Dustin of Waiting for Flynn. That's my intimate listening room experience singer-songwriter show. And then June 22nd is the 5th annual Rock Paper Podcast birthday show at Broadway Oyster Bar featuring Amanda Fish, Tony Campanella, and Odds Lane. And that's going to be a full-on rock and roll show.
You definitely can follow Shane and find out information about the stuff at Rock Paper Podcast without a T, right?
That's the Twitter handle.
The Twitter handle. Yeah. He's
did
on
you
Instagram.
Run out of characters?
Yeah, he did. Oh, he's on Instagram. He's on Facebook, Rock Paper Podcast. You can find him anywhere. And I'll link, you know, of course, when I link an episode, I'll link you to it. I'll link the bands that you mentioned to, and I usually do something clever with the, well, I call it clever, with the
well, he brought that for you, so you
picture,
can make that.
Yeah, so I'll probably end up making that. I was thinking of making those as the cover of the episode, so there's lots of places you can find it. Definitely go support it. Shane's been one of our best friends since we started this thing. Definitely up, like we always joke about what's the Mount Rushmore guest. You're definitely up there on that because you've always been great.
Wait, the greatest thing about Shane is everyone always likes to support local, like businesses or whatever. Mm-hmm. Shane supports everything local.
Yeah.
Like his birthday.
The podcast birthday. Yeah,
the podcast birthday is at a local spot. He's going to have all local people. He always supports local people. That's what's important, people.
If you started celebrating your own birthday, I'd be like, he's kind of gotten egotistical on us. I'm like, just kidding.
This almost coincides with it. No.
So what I was going to say is this is actually my 34th birthday party.
Oh, same day.
Well, my birthday is June 19th, so I'm making that party.
That's not an ego way of doing it. That's a good way of doing it. Because
you didn't even bring it up until he tried
out,
to give me shit.
It happened to fall on the same week. And I was
come
like,
out and celebrate Shane's 5th anniversary of the Rock Paper Podcast, right. The 34th anniversary of Shane being on the planet.
He's such a little baby.
This may be that we can't do the June 11th one because that's our daughter's 9th birthday, but we can do the June 22nd one.
I would like to do that,
which would be
awesome.
Plus, I might get down there early so I can have some of those awesome, crawfish quesadillas? Or
enchiladas.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. One of the best foods I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah, full dinner till 11, apps till 2, bar till 3. So we're going late night.
Yeah, and I've done all of those in those time frames. So do it. Come out and check it out. We're going to wrap up here. I don't have Bender. I don't have Tom.
But you have Bye.
But Tom would say let's go Blues. Home a win for game one. And go St. Louis overall. So that's it. Playing
Bye-bye.
The music. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
I don't know if you've heard me talking about it, but it's getting so many copyright hits. Even though they're open source music, you can link credit to them. So I finally just bit the bullet and a new song. I paid the $34 for the rights to the new song. And I still get hits. I still have to submit it. And it's not a strike against me, but it's frustrating. I just can't.